Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Hey, fellow patriots and believers, Father Frank here. I am going to I'm at the controls myself here tonight, but I'm going to come around and sit in my chair as you gather together in the room as well. And we come together again to pray for America, talk about President Trump, and let his words inspire and instruct us. I'm just coming around. I'm here alone in my studio tonight, but really not alone because I'm with all of you, obviously. So here we come, and welcome. Thank you for being with us. I can see your comments. We are live, and you know, a lot of times because of my travel schedule or other tapings going on here in the studio, I have to pre-tape these programs, and I really prefer live, and I trust that most of you do as well. There are certain benefits to pre-taping things. Sometimes we can edit in things that make the program even better, but nothing like being live, especially because of the interaction we have with all of you. So a lot of things to get to tonight. You know, I have a very big, very good friend that says to me sometimes when I say, hey, did you watch the latest Trump rally? Or did you see the latest speech by President Trump? And this friend of mine says, oh, but you know, I hear him say the same things over and over again. Well, of course, he always does have new things. And especially now as he's implementing his 2024 campaign, he's giving us new visions, new policy statements and declarations. But yeah, of course, a lot of the things that he's going to say at these rallies are things that we've heard before. But, you know, I remind my friends who say that is like, you know, you go to church on any given Sunday, and especially in the Catholic community or any denomination that uses the common lectionary. And you know what? You hear the same reading that you heard last year, like at Christmas, it's always the same gospel. Well, why? It's because these are ideas that need to be repeated over and over again because we have to be living them. These are ideals. These are policies. These are as one of you is saying, we have to drill the truth in Fran. We have to drill the truth into people. And that requires repetition. Learning requires repetition. So President Trump knows exactly what he's doing. And all of us know exactly what we're doing when we do indeed repeat over and over the very truths that if we live them, if we implement them, are going to make and keep America great and are going to keep us, even more importantly, on the path of salvation. Okay, so we're going to do what we usually do. We're going to go to the scriptures, read a passage, and then I want to talk to you about some of the things the president said recently. I see some comments there that were coming in earlier, and they really reflect the sentiment that I always have. Once upon a time, there was a moron named Biden, and another one of you said, we cannot stay much longer with this Biden regime. And you know, the Vatican recently said to me, oh, you can't function as a priest anymore. You know what part of the part of the problem is that led to that? They can't deal, and when I say they, I mean some in authority in the church in the United States and also over in Rome. And I hope some of you are listening to this because I'm sure there's people that are monitoring. Oh, let's see pro-life leader Frank says now that, you know, we threw him out of the priesthood. Well, you know, you can listen all you want, but guess what? You're going to hear the same things I've been saying all these years because nothing's changed. And the fact of the matter is you're the ones that need to change. And the fact of the matter also is, and I'm saying it to the rest of you, that part of the problem that some of these guys have is why they've opposed our work is that when we say things like we're saying here tonight, we can't have much more of this Biden regime. Even calling it the Biden regime or calling Biden a moron. You know, these church leaders just say, but that's terrible. But you can't be saying those things. These guys don't want to fight. This is the problem. They don't appreciate the battle that we're in. They think that they can make political tyranny go away just by being nice and wishing it away. Are you with me, friends? You understand what the problem is here? They look at people like me and say, well, but it's blasphemy. It's blasphemy. Yeah, it's blasphemy against the Democrats. That's right. And against you who are so in bed with the Democrats, some of you who are in church leadership, you are so in bed with the Democrats, it's about time somebody calls you out. It's about time. That's why people are standing with me and standing with our ministry. That's why this is the biggest political movement in American history. That's why we win. Because we are able to speak the truth. You know what some of these church leaders say? These mamby-pamby, milquetoast, effeminate, Democrat-embedded church leaders, they try to pass themselves off as ministers of the gospel, but they're nothing more than Democrat leaders wearing different colored robes. They don't know how to even assess the battle. And you know, the church, I'm getting off on this tangent here, but a week from today, the Catholic Church honors a man by the name of Blessed Clemens von Galen. Have any of you heard of him? He was a bishop in Germany at the time of the Nazi regime. And as the Nazi regime was on the ascendancy and as their godless, anti-life philosophy became more and more obvious in the terrible things they were doing against the freedom of the church and against the dignity of human life, this Bishop von Galen started preaching powerfully against this political party. And then they made him a cardinal, and now they're making him a saint. And then people like me speak out against an evil political party today, and they kick me out of the priesthood. No, we're going to call you guys out. You're cowards. You're not speaking against the Democrat Party. You're in bed with them. Enough is enough. This is why people are standing with us. Because they're sick and tired of this mamby-pamby attitude. You don't win by sitting on the sidelines trying to figure out how you're not going to offend anybody. And yes, sometimes you have to pay the price. Teachers lose their jobs as teachers. Coaches lose their jobs as coaches. Doctors lose their privileges at hospitals. Military officers lose their positions. And sometimes priests lose their priesthood. Not really in its essence, of course, but you know what I'm talking about. It's a price you pay. There's one thing above all. See, well, some of these folks, these fake religious leaders, they actually say that the biggest virtue, you've heard me talk about this before, complain about this before, I'll mention this and then we'll go into our scripture. They'll say the greatest virtue in politics today is civility. And any of you agree with that? The most important characteristics that we have to have in our political life today is civility. Let me know what you think about that. I see your comments right here. Thank you, Jan Eastman, you're always with us on these programs. They got to be called out. Angela. Oh, Angela Maria from Chicago. Thanks for all your faithful comments on social media. We're always encouraged by what you have to say. And just, you know, great stuff here. But this is what people are saying. Oh, you know, there has to be civility in politics. Civility. Is that the highest virtue in politics, really? No. How about truth? How about calling things as they are, as a starting point? And honesty throughout the process. Assess things honestly for what they are. Do what has to be done about them. And stay faithful to your promises. The correspondence between what comes out of your mouth and what you do in your actions. That's what's needed above all. And that's something that President Trump shows us how to do and has done it himself. Okay, let's go into... I want to go to Philippians here because it ties in with what I want to say about President Trump's comments. Chapter 4 of Philippians, starting in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say it, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in prayer and in supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Let us pray. Father, this is what we need in politics. This is what we need as we pray for America. That first of all, our minds get out of the gutter, that our minds get out of being busybodies and gossips and judgmental people, that our minds furthermore get out of the ways of greed and self-promotion, but that we do, as your word says, think about things that make us great. Think about things that are true. Think about things that are excellent. Lord, this is the way forward, that we see the good example around us. And we thank you, Lord, that we have lived through under President Trump, the greatest presidential administration of our times and of our history. And sadly, some of our fellow citizens can't even see that when it's right before their eyes, open their eyes. But Lord, as we see, we imitate. We imitate the keeping of promises. Practice what you observe. Practice what you have learned. Practice what you preach. Thank you, Lord, for the example you give us, and for at least the longing and the desire to be consistent with our beliefs. We try, Lord God. We fail, but every time we fail, we will get up and try again. Thank you, Lord, for America, which is a nation based on principles that are perfect. It doesn't get any better than all are created equal. It doesn't get any better than to acknowledge that we are endowed by you with certain unalienable rights, that life is first, and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. It can't get any better than that government exists to secure these rights. Not to give them, not to edit them, not to delete them, but to secure them. It doesn't get any better than this. And so, Lord, we have a country based on perfect principles. And yet, as every human being of every age in history, of every place, of every nation, flawed in our own sinful humanity, and yet, Lord God, this nation continues to strive, to live, to put into practice, as your word says, those timeless principles, because, Lord, we think on these things. As Paul has urged the Philippians, we think about the things that are excellent. And because, Lord God, you told us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when we think about these things, having brought every thought into captivity to Christ, we also speak of these things. Bless us, Lord, as we listen to the words of President Trump, who echoes exactly this sentiment as he calls us to speak again about greatness in America. Not to speak about critical race theory or racism in our history or the evil of our past or any kind of crooked, twisted notions of how we are inherently divided between ourselves based on race or white supremacy. Why are we even talking about these things? Let us speak about greatness, and let us make our nation great. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Okay, so what I wanted to do, and thank you so many of you for joining us. I see the numbers and I see your comments here. Continue to let us know where you're from, what you think, what you do in your own sphere of influence to make America great. But I want to share with you some more of these quotes from President Trump the other day at a couple of weeks ago now, at the CPAC conference. I was there, as were many others. And we're just taking a few of the key quotes. So one, I want to pick up where we left off last time, smashing the censorship cartel. Of course, what he's doing here is he's laying out a series of policies that he says, you put me back in the White House in 2024. Here's what we're going to do. Exactly this. He's laying out policy. He's going to be very focused on policy as he continues this campaign. And he says, I will destroy the illegal censorship regime and bring back free speech in America. Well, if we can't agree that free speech in America, no matter what we might disagree about when we do speak, if we can't agree that we must be able to speak freely, then we've got a principle here to battle for, because this is inherently American, explicitly American. And I wanted to look at a policy development here under this this horrific Biden administration. The department, well, under President Trump, one of the ways that he did work for freedom is he told the college campuses, and we just saw, didn't we just see what happened with Charlie Kirk on campus, and they started smashing windows and acting violently. And this has happened in various campuses against various conservative speakers. And it's like, what's the matter now? We can't even speak, no matter how vehemently somebody might disagree with it. It's why speech is protected, precisely because somebody's going to disagree with it and somebody's going to hate it and somebody's going to want to do actions that will shut you up. And that's why your speech is protected. Precisely because somebody's going to try to shut you down. So President Trump put measures in place in regard to these universities. He said, look, you want federal funding? This is federal funding from the United States of America based on our Constitution, including the right to free speech. So we're not going to give you federal funds unless you protect freedom of speech on the campus. Now, that seems like a very, very wise and attractive American policy, right? Well, get this. The U.S. Department of Education really recently published a new proposed regulation that would end those extra safeguards on the rights of free speech on campuses, especially faith-based campuses. Again, this rule required public universities and colleges to respect the First Amendment rights of faith-based campus groups in order to receive federal grant money. All right, so you can't say that a group on campus can't speak just because it's religious or pro-life, for example. The new Biden rule would force some student groups, and you know which kind they're talking about, our kind, either to fight in court for their right to meet together or lose that right altogether. Why? Biden administration, you really hate America that much? You really so on the other side that you're going to, you know, no wonder there are citizens who don't understand why President Trump's presidency was so great. They vote for people like this who are undoing things that are so inherently American that it would be hard to imagine anything else more American. So right now, this rule has been proposed. Now, the process that's involved here is that you have a rule proposed, and then there's a period of public comment for however many days, a week, a month or more. They set a deadline. And then they have to look at all these comments. So we have an opportunity now. Tomorrow, if you check out our political website, prolifevote.com, we're going to put the link up there that gives you the form at which you can make comments about this. I want to encourage all of you to do that. We'll put that link up in the morning, prolifevote.com. And by the way, sign up for our emails there as well, because then we'll send email notifications. When there are things like this that you can lend your voice as a citizen to stop some of these ridiculous rules or to support the good ones, which of course will be coming again under another Republican administration, we need to be able to alert you to that. We'll alert you through these broadcasts like we're doing now. and that website, prolifevote.com, but you can also sign up for those emails. Okay, some other things that President Trump said in this speech. America First trade policy. I will create a true national trade policy like the kind that made America the world's economic powerhouse. America First trade policy. Don't enter into trade agreements that put us last, that put us at a disadvantage. Again, common sense. I mean, this is total independence from China. Because economic security is national security, I will revoke China's most favored nation trade status. I will implement a four-year plan. Notice how this is thought out and planned. This is policy that he's got ready to go. A four-year plan to phase out all Chinese imports of essential goods and gain total independence from China. You know, he always talked about how most favored nation status he got for the United States, where, you know, you're going to get the lowest available prices, right, for the products that you purchase. And again, these are common sense policy. I want to pray about all this. One of the things we do here, we don't just comment on the news, we pray over it. And we're going to pray over these things in a moment. China accountability. Here's a big one. Accountability for the virus. I will hold China financially accountable for unleashing the China virus upon the world. Are the other candidates going to say this as clearly and directly as that? Should not China be held accountable? I'm going to see these comments coming in. Let me know if you have comments on any of this. If you don't see, Julie's responding to somebody. I didn't see the original comment. But if you don't see everything President Trump did, you must have been in Joe's basement. Yeah, good point, Julie. I think a lot of people were there in the basement with Joe. Maybe that's why he was there so long, because he was so busy with the other people that are kind of just like this. You know, they're blind. They're blind to what's going on in America. It's unbelievable. The China virus. Yes, Jean, I say the same thing. She said, I love how Trump still calls it the China virus. Hey, listen, that's what we should call it. That's what we should call it, all of us. Let's keep the accountability on China. You know, if people are offended by that, say, oh, well, you know, we have nothing against the Chinese people. No, we don't. It's not racist. It's not derogatory to all Chinese people. We have friends who are Chinese. We have great American citizens who are Chinese. At CPAC, I was just with a great group of Chinese Americans who were fighting for freedom, who were exposing the evils of the CCP. Of course, we're not degrading Chinese people any more than when we talk about the Spanish flu, where we're saying something against Spaniards. Of course not. We're talking about something that's inherent in the situation of the virus itself. Where did it come from? No. Keep doing that. Keep using that terminology. Stay patient, stay Trump. I like that. U.S. bishops responsible for Biden becoming president. They did not speak out about how evil he is. No, that's right. They didn't. And they tried to shut up people like me who were saying how evil he is. Withdraw from the WHO, World Health Organization. What a disaster that organization is. I will again withdraw from the WHO, President Trump said. And then in his usual style, he says, well, what it really stands for is we hide outbreaks. Energy independence, another big topic, another common sense policy. Under my leadership, we will regain energy independence as we had 3 years ago. Imagine that. We've got to remind ourselves, 3 years ago, that is not a long time at all. Greg is saying defund the FBI. Thank you for saying that. You know, we've got... You know, I'm in contact with Mark Hauck. He's been utilizing the encouragement from our ministry for many years. We've had him on this program, the pro-life activist whose home was raided by all those dozens of FBI agents at gunpoint with his children there in front of him. I mean, what is going on here? And the FBI, you know, it really does have to be either defunded or just demolished and create a different entity. You know, it created a different entity. There are whistleblowers in the FBI. There are a lot of good people there that want to do the right thing. And they should stand up against the weaponization of this particular agency. And I've said to you before, I've got to honestly recommend to people that they not cooperate with the FBI. And see, this is where the FBI is harming themselves in allowing themselves to be weaponized by the Democrat Party. What's happening is they lose the confidence of the American people, and therefore they're eroding their own ability to do their jobs, because if they're investigating something, you know, they're going to need the cooperation of American citizens who might have information that they need. But how are they going to get it if they lose the trust of the very same citizens that they have to ask for the information that they need in order to do their job? Right? It makes sense. And they're eroding. They have eroded. They've lost that trust. Certainly lost it from me. And I would recommend everybody just stay away. Stay away from them until things get really reformed. All right, so let's pray over all these things. This time goes by so fast. But I am going to be on, of course, we're on Right Side Broadcasting now, and we're so grateful for what you do and for having us on with you. I'm going to be on my own channel again at the top of the hour, half hour from now, endabortion.tv, and we're going to have our pro-life primetime program. That's a different program from Praying for America. And so I invite you to hop over to there or to the various channels that are linked from there to watch our pro-life program at 9 p.m. Eastern time, a half hour from now. But for what we just talked about, let's pray. So Father, we turn to you again, praying for America. And Lord, let's talk to you, O God, about this question of free speech. Our campuses, our sons and daughters, our nieces and nephews and grandnieces, grandnephews, grandchildren on these campuses, or if we are in that age group ourselves, our friends, our peers on these campuses, Lord, safeguard their human right to speak what they believe. It's a human right, and it's essential to our health and well-being. Lord, protect. We are asking you tonight to protect, first of all, on a human level, their right to speak their mind, to gather together with others of like mind, to influence their peers on campus with the right ideas, and to have the kind of events and invite the kind of speakers that they want to invite to be nourished and encouraged in those beliefs. Lord God, for their own benefit, first of all, protect that right. For the benefit of the causes that they embrace, the pro-life cause, the values of the kingdom of Christ, the priorities of the church, for the good of those movements and values and churches, let this right be preserved. And thirdly, for the rights of Americans rooted in the Constitution, we ask you to preserve the power and meaning of that Constitution. Lord, let this new proposed rule by the Biden administration fail. A rule that would actually backtrack, remove the extra safeguards that have been put in place for the freedom of speech of our students on campuses. Lord, why would they want to remove these things? Let the scales once again fall from their eyes. And Lord, allow and encourage and inspire many citizens like us to leave comments on the website where public comments are being welcomed about this. Rouse us to action. Let us do what we need to do to make our voices heard to the Biden administration. Lord, in terms of all these other policy proposals and promises that President Trump is putting forward, enable us, Lord, to regain our independence from China. Enable us to regain our energy independence. Enable us in trade policies to put America first. Lord, enable our fellow citizens to understand these issues and to get behind this country, not other countries. It is only from a position of strength as America that we will be best able to help these other countries. But Lord, let us put our country first, and then we'll be able to help our brothers and sisters elsewhere. We sum up all our prayers and praises now in offering the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. All right. Thank you for all these beautiful comments. And let's see, one other thing. A Canadian boy was put in jail for speaking about, this gender ideology. Something else. It's something else. Let's go, Betty says, and go to the polls and elect a president who loves the USA. You know, shouldn't that be the first characteristic of an office holder in America, that they love America? That's a good note to conclude on, because it really sums up everything we're trying to say as we gather together for these times of conversation and prayer. You want to serve America? Show that you love America if you're going to be worthy of our vote. And we should ask them that explicitly, because now it's become an issue. Used to be understood. It used to be presumed. It used to be taken for granted. Can't take it for granted anymore. Do you love this country or do you hate this country? Do you believe in this country or you believe in some other country? Tell us before you ask for our vote. Well, we'll talk more about this tomorrow, friends. Please join me again tomorrow. I'll be coming live again tomorrow night, and we'll have a lot more to talk about. God bless you all, and spread the word about Praying for America, and connect with me on all the social media platforms at Fr. Frank Pavone. Fr. Frank Pavone, as you can see on that lower third right there on the screen. God bless you, friends. We're praying for you. Talk to you tomorrow.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.